value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download, the show about the themes and trends driving markets and the economy now and in the future. My name's David Brett, and on today's show, we delve into a major global study which reveals what investors really think about sustainable investing. We find out how much they would want in return for compromising their morals.
I mean, good grief, if somebody offered me 21% right now against the current investment, macroeconomic and markets backdrop, well then, yes, I would take it as an individual, because I think 21% is such a major return hurdle.
Their demand for companies to be more sustainable and its long-term effects.
These factors help to contribute to a more sustainable company, but also perhaps a better return in the long run.
And that they realise we're all in this together.
It's clear from various sources that solving the sustainability problems that we face requires an enormous effort.
Hello everyone, I hope you're all safe and well. If I ask you to name your price and tell me how big a return you would need to invest against your beliefs, what do you think you would say? 10%, 15%, 20%, perhaps even more? Well, that was just one of the questions posed in a recent major global study which uncovered investors' attitudes towards sustainable investing and how committed they were to investing in line with their beliefs. It was part of Schroeder's Global Investor Study 2020, which was conducted across 32 locations worldwide, surveying more than 23,000 investors between April 30th and June 15th this year. Sustainability has grown importance in the world. It's no longer just about recycling or climate change. It's now coursing through our everyday lives. It's about the food we eat, the mode of transport we take, and even the clothes we buy. And according to the results of the study, the investors care about it too. So with me to discuss the research is Hannah Simons. Hannah is Schroeder's Head of Sustainability Strategy. Hannah, it's your first time on the show. Welcome. How have you been?
Thanks, David. It's a real pleasure to be on the show today and have the opportunity to speak to you. I'm really well. In fact, I'm feeling very refreshed after the wonderful weekend weather we've just experienced.
It's lovely. And returning to the show to give us some more behavioural insights is Schroeder's expert, Stuart Podmore. Stuart, how have you been?
I'm very well. Thank you, David. I too have been really enjoying the sunshine, making the most of it in these last few days because it starts to feel a little bit more autumnal out there. So make the most of it while we can. And I'm very much looking forward to today's show. I think the idea of sustainability and behavioural goes very much hand in hand.
So, Schroeder's Global Investor Study tells us that more than three quarters of investors refuse to sacrifice their personal beliefs when investing. But there's a famous quote, everything has a price. So in the first part of the show, we're going to turn that back on them and ask, what's the price you're willing to accept for investing against those beliefs?
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
Okay, let's get straight into it. The study found 77% of investors said they would not compromise their personal beliefs when it comes to investing. But for the 23% that said they would, 21% was the return on an investment they wanted if they were going to invest against their beliefs. That's almost double the 10.9% investors expect annual average returns to be over the next 5 years. Hannah, what does this tell us about investors' attitude towards sustainable investing?
Thanks, David. We think that this these responses highlight just how important sustainability is to investors. And we know from the previous surveys that we've done, people's attitudes to sustainable investing are continually evolving. But these latest results firmly put sustainability at the top of their agenda. It shows, and you've mentioned already, that the significant majority of the people who responded will not compromise their beliefs. And for those that would be willing to do so, that return premium that they're demanding is incredibly large.
Yeah, that goes to suggest that they do want a lot to compromise their beliefs. But Stuart, if I offered you a 21% return on your investment, even if it went against your values, that's going to be hard to turn down, isn't it?
Yes, it is, in a nutshell. I mean, good grief, if somebody offered me 21% right now against the current investment, macroeconomic and markets backdrop, well, then, yes, I would take it as an individual, because I think 21% is such a major return hurdle, given where we are, and also given our current views around the inescapable truths of the next decade. It looks like returns are going to be pretty subdued from here on in. I think behaviorally, when you look at this, first of all, to me, it looks a little bit like evidence of overconfidence, or a strand of it, overestimation, which I know we've talked about on the show before, and a degree of optimism bias. But actually, I stopped to think about it and I looked at it a bit more closely. And depending on how that question was framed, I think in a way it illustrates a desire on the part of investors to try and avoid what has been described as cognitive dissonance. This was first investigated by Leon Festinger in 1957, actually, and he argued that humans have an inner drive to hold all of their attitudes and beliefs in harmony. And when there's inconsistency between those attitudes and our behaviors, something's got to give, something's got to change to eliminate that feeling of discomfort, that dissonance. And so I think investors are setting the bar very high here in the hope that they won't experience that psychological stress or discomfort that occurs when they participate potentially in an action that goes against their beliefs or values.
Hannah, I was interested in the term personal beliefs. I suspect in the past a lot of investors would have linked sustainable investing purely to something like climate change. Over the years, have you seen a shift in those perceptions?
The social imbalances that we've seen growing over the past few years have been thrust into the spotlight by COVID. So increasingly, how companies look after their employees, the relationships that they have with the companies in their supply chain, the involvement that companies have in the community that they operate within are under greater scrutiny. And we've long argued that companies don't operate in a vacuum. And we truly believe that those companies that can actually successfully navigate the relationships with all of those different groups will actually be able to deliver long-term success for investors.
Stuart, we're told millennials care more about sustainability issues. This study appears to contradict that. Over 80% of investors over the age of 51 said they would not pick higher returns over investing in what they believe in. That compares to 75% for millennials. Are millennials less moralistic?
I want to stand up for that younger generation here, because I think that actually what this does prove is that, according to our survey, they are a little bit more pragmatic, and I understand that. I think the way I would explain that is by referring to a piece of research that's been covered in the press recently and over the last year or two. It was something that was originally developed by Blanche Flower and Oswald, and it was a happiness study, originally in 2017, refreshed again in 2019. And during this particular test, over a million people were surveyed about how happy they were feeling at a particular point in time across 51 countries. And the test results showed a remarkable correlation. So at the start of this particular range or age range, they started at 16 years of age, and that would appear to be when we're at our most happy. And then actually we declined downwards, first of all, to a pit of misery around the age of 52. And then we become happier through to 90 if we live that far. So I just wonder whether, as those 16-year-olds start to move downwards in terms of happiness, down towards the age of 52, actually the refresh data suggests that pit is hit at about 48 years of age. Well, I just wonder whether, as they start to feel those burdens and those pressures of life and greater and broader responsibilities, I just think they're more pragmatic about it. And I also wonder whether those that millennial generation, that younger generation, has also realised, perhaps, that from here on in, we're back to the inescapable truth. Returns are going to be difficult to come by. So I credit them with that very pragmatic outlook, that practical grip on reality. I've just incidentally passed what is supposedly the pit of misery at the age of 52. So I'm quite happy to say that, David, from here on in, I'm supposed to get a lot happier. And having experienced lockdown with a 16-year-old daughter, I'm sort of starting to see evidence of that downward slope already, actually. But I link it to that financial stability later in life. And the idea that perhaps people can have more choices, more flexibility, and stand by their principles a little later on when they've earned some of that wealth.
Okay, we're going to put the talk of morals aside. In the next section of the show, we're going to look at agents of sustainable change and how investors expect companies to be more socially aware.
Get in touch with us by email at shorterspodcasts@shorters.com or visit our website, shorters.com/investor download.
The study also found the sustainability issue investors were most concerned about was how companies impact communities and society. The study suggests 70% consider social factors of key importance. This is closely followed by environmental issues, 67%, and treatment of staff, 66%. Hannah, are you seeing the results of this study playing out in reality within the investment management industry?
Our clients are definitely asking us more questions about the discussions we're having with companies on these broader societal issues. And to help investors understand that the work that we're doing to help us better understand how companies are navigating these challenges, we're actually increasingly sharing examples of the engagement that we've had to really help our investors understand the types of topic that we have discussions with companies on. So, for example, some of the engagements that we've had through the past few months, focusing on some of the challenges that have come under the spotlight in the COVID world, include our discussions with US food producers, where there have been some disruptions to the supply chain. So we've been talking to companies about how they've managed to navigate that issue. We've also been involved in a number of collaborative engagements with UK companies. We've been talking to company management on the actions that they've undertaken to support the mental health of their employees during this particularly difficult time.
Stuart, why are investors so focused on these sustainability issues?
I think this all points to a key desire that we have for fairness. And in particular, our social need for cooperation. In this regard, humans versus other species are unique in that we cooperate with strangers on certain occasions. And I think I see the popularity of impact in particular and how we measure impact within sustainability as increasing. I see that interest as increasing, and it's partly because of that sense of cooperation and the sense of fairness that comes with it. There are actually some interesting studies, in particular Fair and Gachter put a paper together in Nature in 2002, and they talked about one of the key drivers for human cooperation in the context of social evolution lying in altruistic punishment. It's almost as if we're geared also to punish those freeloaders, even though it might be costly to us in some way. And that's how strong the emotional driver can be in terms of cooperation and in terms of our sense of fairness. So I think that's going to increase.
Despite the altruistic approach, it's encouraging to note that a significant number of investors don't think they'll have to sacrifice returns for their beliefs. The study shows that 42% of investors are attracted to sustainable investments because they believe they're more likely to offer higher returns. Hannah, what do you make of this?
At Schroders, in terms of performance, we've definitely long argued that sustainable investing doesn't necessarily result in lower returns. Sustainable companies typically have much lower levels of controversies. They tend to have greater customer loyalty and employees that are also really engaged. And these factors help to contribute to a more sustainable company, but also perhaps a better return in the long run.
It feels like investors are beginning to link the way companies behave to their impact on society and their long-term investment returns. So in the final part of the show, we're going to look at where investors think the responsibility lies for sustainable action and what more the investment industry can do. So Schroders asked investors who they think is responsible for sustainable issues such as tackling climate change. Again, we won't go through all the responses. You can find the full details again at schroders.com/GIS. But 69% felt responsibility lies with governments, 67% with companies, and 59% with themselves, the individual investors. So Hannah, despite everything that goes on, people are still looking to the government for that lead. How do you marry up what you do with messages and the lead coming from the government?
I think it's fair to say, David, that we are seeing that sort of leadership from governance. We're seeing considerable action. So whether it's the commitments and plans that have been put in place by governments around the world to reduce carbon emissions in line with the Paris Agreement, or their rapid responses that we've seen to support communities and companies through the COVID pandemic, governments are certainly taking the lead. I would highlight, though, that whilst governments are certainly at the top of that list that you shared of where respondents place responsibility, many of those other options weren't actually that far behind, suggesting that investors believe we all have a role to play in solving the world's sustainability issues. And it's clear from various sources that solving the sustainability problems that we face requires an enormous effort. And the UN, for example, has suggested that there's an annual gap in funding of more than $2.5 trillion that companies will need to help them invest to basically find solutions to the largest sustainability challenges that we face today.
As Hannah was speaking, it just occurred to me, when people think about who's responsible for making these changes, I think it's very difficult to detect this, especially behaviorally. And Cass Sunstein actually presented this at the BX 2019 conference last November in 2019. And he talked about the fact that you don't really see some of the drivers for change until they've taken place. And now he talked about four different drivers, and one of which was preference falsification. It's hard to know what people really want. Sometimes they don't necessarily tell you the truth. He talked about social interdependencies and how social media and connectivity can influence people. He talked about group polarization as well, and how groups can cope, can polarize, and also how people have diverse thresholds before they take action. If you think about those four different factors and the combination of those, I sense with this particular answer around who's responsible that in that variety, there might suddenly be a major shift in the future.
Yes, on that list, actually, investment managers came bottom. Just 46% felt the investment managers responsible for mitigating climate change. Hannah, is that a surprise, or is that perhaps a misunderstanding of the role of investment managers and the role they play as stakeholders?
To be honest, David, I was actually really surprised with this response, because I do think that investors should think of investment managers alongside those other groups as organisations that can effectively drive change. As investors on behalf of our clients, we absolutely have a role to play, and the way we invest can affect real change. So the way we direct capital to companies, and even more importantly, the way we own the companies in which we invest, can result in a better outcome for society. So a key element of this comes from the engagement with the companies that we invest in to encourage them to adopt or change their business practices that will result in a better future.
Although less than half of people consider investment managers responsible for mitigating climate change, 58% of investors think they should withdraw funds from the fossil fuel industry, 28% saying they should remain invested to drive change. Hannah, there's no easy answer to all this. How should investment managers act when it comes to issues of forcing companies to act sustainably?
David, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said there's no easy answer. And this discussion on divestment is an area where Schroders has undertaken a lot of research. And in reality, as you highlighted, that the picture really isn't, if you like, as simple as saying, if I divest, then climate change will be solved because we'll have lower carbon emissions. Divestment is certainly an option, but we're not sure that it's really necessarily the best way to promote positive change. We think that investors who are looking to influence company behaviours can do this in more effective ways. And we propose a new model to drive change that focuses on two core areas. Firstly, engagement with companies. And I mentioned the importance of the engagement we have with the companies we invest in to drive change. And secondly, to actually restrict the supply of capital model that actually funds the fossil fuel industry. So these are important considerations, and you know, it's tricky to find what is the right approach.
Stuart, a final word from you. Do you think the results of the study, which point towards people thinking and investing more sustainably, are going to be part of a short-term fad or a longer-term trend?
If people continue to see sustainability in the context of social norms, there'll be greater cooperation and therefore potentially greater success. And you'll see that trend continue with more and more people considering sustainable investments into the future. I think for intermediaries, it is very much a case of trying to make that as easy a process for clients as possible. And it's beholden on us too, I think, to make it easy, to make it attractive, to make it social, and to make it timely for them.
Well, that was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, you can go to schroders.com/GIS. If you want to get in touch with us about anything on the show or ideas for future shows, you can email us at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. To listen to our back catalogue, it's schroders.com/the investor download, where you can also find related articles. But above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.